which is 10-month-old, in my newsletter this week, and here he is. I think he was disappointed that the singing part of the service has stopped, and he wanted to continue with Butch. So glad to have everyone with us this morning. Our grandson Milby and Chelsea, his wife, and the parents of Yerby are with us, and our daughter Carla. The difficulty that you have as a parent is when your daughter becomes a grandmother, it makes you feel so old. But Carla's here, and Paul, we're glad to have this season of the year to be together. And I know that you have had loved ones with you also. I met Blaine and Vivian this morning. That's Butch and Jerry's grandchildren. Now, they will tell you they're brother and sister, but they're, in fact, are cousins. That's what they are. Both of them are 4 years of age. But Vivian turns 5 January the 3rd, so we're glad to have her here this morning. Well, it hardly seems possible that this year it will be over in just a couple of days. One of the songs that Butch led that I remember from my youth in the church, "Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand." And you have those emotions as you come to the end of the year and you realize it's over and you start a new year. When you tidy up the things in the next 2 days to close out the year, you will have nothing left but the memories of this year. And memories are powerful things in our lives. Sometimes there are memories that we'd like to forget, especially those memories of events that caused us deep regrets. Everybody faces regrets. Well, that isn't exactly true. Regret is not always an emotion that everybody can feel. I remember reading in Life of the Nazi doctor Adolf Eichmann as he stood ready for trial for his war crimes in World War II. And he said in the interview, "To sum it all up, I must say, I regret nothing." That was shocking to me, that a man who had done all the things that he had done to children and to the Jewish people could at the close of his own life say, "I regret nothing." And yet the antisocial personality, that's what we call it now. When I started practicing law, we called it the sociopath. Now the terminology changes in different professions, and so we call it the antisocial personality. That person really does not feel for other people and therefore cannot experience regret. And you'd have to say that someone like Adolf Eichmann was an antisocial personality to say that he had no regrets for all that he had done. Those of my generation are shocked sometimes when we see in the news of different pockets of our own nation in which there is a rise of what they call neo-Nazism. If you grew up like I did with the memories of World War II and the experiences of that war, think of the Nazi symbol as anything beneficial is very difficult, if not impossible. I have been privileged, I guess, over the years to represent people, some of whom have done horrendous things. And one of the most common personality disorders that we have, especially of those who commit criminal acts, is this antisocial personality. I was thinking this week the changes in the last 50 years of my practice. And I think one of the changes that I've noticed is that the rise of this antisocial personality is greater today. At least when I started, people seemed to be sorry for what they had done. But it is remarkable to me, some of the people who have done the most horrendous things have never expressed any regret for what they've done or any responsibility for what they've done. And so when I say that everybody will face regrets, I must say that that does not include the antisocial personality who just simply does not feel guilty because he cannot feel for the other person. And I suppose the non-reflective personality is also one that doesn't feel regrets. By non-reflective, I simply mean that regret comes only from reflection when you think about it. Some people live so much in the moment that they cannot experience regret because they do not take time to remember. He doesn't reflect on what he has done or the harm that he has caused. You recall the words from Frank Sinatra's signature song, My Way, includes the lines, "Regrets, I've had a few, but too few to mention. I did it my way." Well, people probably who do it their way all the time do not feel very many regrets, because if they accomplished their way, then that's all that matters to them. I've thought of the regrets, though, that you and I, as normal human beings, and especially as sensitive spiritual human beings, face. And each of us has his or her own regrets. And some of them will be about what has happened in this year that's coming to a close. It is not possible always to tell that someone feels regret. There is a Proverb 14 and verse 13, that says, "Even in laughter, the heart may ache." Someone may be laughing as if they're having a good time, but if you were able to look into their heart, you would know that they are aching and they are perhaps miserable. And so it's not always easy to tell the ones who are feeling a deep regret or a deep sorrow that will not go away. The writer David in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 38:28, said, "I am troubled by my sin." That's a universal experience, I think, for us. I am troubled by my sin. Generally, our regrets flow from these experiences. First of all, those things which we do that are wrong. Every time that a Christian commits a sin, either against himself or against someone else or simply against the Lord, that does not remain unnoticed in his conscious mind. And so when he thinks about it and he reflects on it, he is troubled by the things which he has done which are wrong. We can be forgiven of those things and still be troubled by them in our minds, to think that we have done that. Another source of our regrets are those things we did not do which we should have done. I started to mention all the families that have experienced the loss of a loved one this year in my email, but it began to extend itself, and I thought there's no reason to bring up all those matters. One of the things that most often affects us when we lose a loved one is we think of all the things we did not do or did not say that we wish that we had done or that we wish we would have said. And so if there's one thing that I would advise each of us to do is let's say to others whom we love those things that we want to say and that we will never have the regrets of what we failed to say. It is so important that people know how we feel. I am always encouraged by people who remember loved ones and who, as one family, has been remembered, Lauren and Margaret Winters, who served this church so well and so long and influenced many of us who are still here. And to think that their loved ones, knowing how much Lauren and Margaret loved this church, sent $1,000 in their memory. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The sin of omission is probably the one that most of us are guilty of, more than the sin of commission. Because even though time itself will aid us in not committing sins, it does not aid us in committing our failure to commit those acts of righteousness that we should do. The sin of commission is the source of real regrets. And while we are conscious of each other and of the love for each other, I strongly recommend that you say and do those things which later you'll be very glad that you did. There are things that others do which affect us. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, a foolish son brings grief to his father and shame to his mother. We are all interrelated in some ways, but what we do might surely affect others who are close to us and who are part of our families. I think of the heavy responsibility that our leaders have in making decisions that will affect the lives of so many others. We who went through the turbulent 60s with the Vietnam War and other issues that tore our society apart, perhaps had very mixed emotions when we read the biography of Robert McNamara. Robert McNamara was the man closest to President Johnson, and he was the architect of our involvement in Vietnam. In the latter part of his life, Robert McNamara wrote that he was gravely mistaken in his advice to President Johnson about Vietnam. He expressed his deep regret that the others suffered because of his actions, although he was sincere at the time. We make decisions, even in our personal lives, and those decisions will affect others that are closest to us. And sometimes we later come to regret having made those choices. I think of the people in the Bible who suffered regrets. I think one of the ones that suffered regret the most was Judas. I read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, 3 through 8. This is after Jesus has been arrested and condemned to die. And the text says, when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. And they were rather calloused in their response to Judas. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. That's what regret that's unresolved can lead a person to do. Judas wasn't the only apostle that had deep regrets. The apostle Peter had been warned by Jesus that he would deny him three times before the cock would crow. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, after the rooster had crowed, immediately after he had denied Jesus for the third time, the Bible says, then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And then he went outside and wept bitterly. The remorse that both of these apostles experienced ended in different ways. Judas hanged himself, and Peter shed bitter tears. But in those bitter tears, he found forgiveness when Jesus embraced him and forgave him. And that's what we have to think about in our own remorse of seeking forgiveness. Obviously, the way you handle your regrets is to make amends, if at all possible. Willie Nelson has some pretty good practical advice in his song about regrets. He simply says, there's nothing I can do about them now. And you know, there is a truth in that. Sometimes we make decisions and do things, and later there's nothing we can do about those decisions. And we simply have to, as we say, live with them. But to the extent that we can make amends, and to the extent that we can make up for what we have done, it will ease our minds and help us to do that, to get over the regrets that we feel. In closing, I want to say that regret can be a useful emotion. I think all emotions, if properly handled, can be useful. Let me suggest three ways in which regret is a useful emotion. First, it makes us more understanding of others. When you reflect on maybe what you have done in your lifetime, you come across other people who've done something similar. And if you're wise about it, you will reflect on your own experience, and you will be more understanding of others who have themselves done things that are wrong. Do you remember the admonition of the Apostle Paul? He said, if one is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. I think the spirit of gentleness is helped when we remember our own failures, and it gives us more understanding of how strong a temptation can be to another person. Number two, regret can be useful to us because it can help us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. That's the instruction of the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. Certainly, if you think about what you have done in your life that you now regret, you do not think so highly of yourself as you might otherwise. And the third useful purpose of regret is it can stimulate you to do good, because one of the things that will help ease our consciences is if we are involved in doing good, and we can be stimulated to do that by a sense of the regrets that we have in our lives. So I don't know about your life, and you don't know about mine, but I would say that as we close this year and we think of this year as over, then we have the blessings that we will remember with joy, and we'll have the wonderful experiences that will stay with us. But we will be tinged in part by the regrets of the things either that we have done or the things that we have failed to do. And maybe this lesson will help us in dealing with regret. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. We're going to sing the song of invitation, which will be a time for people to confess their faith in Christ, to be baptized, or if we can assist you in any prayer request, we invite you to come to the front while we stand and sing.